When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've been on this dude's radio show numerous times, and now he gets to come on mine, which I'm very excited about. He is former Saints quarterback and host Sports Talk with Bobby Hebert on WWL. He is the one and only Bobby Hebert. Bobby, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It looks like we have two teams, though, that are going in different directions. The Green Bay at 10-5 and the Saints at 5-9. And, you know, when you look at the glass half full and the ball would be bouncing your way, the Saints could be 9-5, but they don't know how to finish.
Bobby,
remember last year at Lambeau Field, they didn't know how to finish. What was that? The Saints were winning 17-3, I think, with 11 minutes left.
Yep.
That was kind of Jordan Love's coming out party.
It was, and you guys missed a field goal.
Yeah, so we haven't. We've gone downhill from there. That's one reason why Dennis Allen is not here. But they're not beating winning ball clubs. If you look at it right now, the Saints are 0-7 against teams currently with winning records this season, and 4-18 against winning teams the last three seasons. So you can see why maybe Dennis Allen's not around right now.
I mean, it is what it is with that whole thing. My whole thing with you all is the salary cap fiasco. We were just looking at the salary cap situation for teams for next year, talking about the Packers, and there are the Saints as of right now, like in the hole, like 70-some million still. Like, when does this end? I feel like this has been going on forever with you guys.
Yeah, they've always pushed it down the road, and it's officially over now. The Who Dat Nation has to face. That Drew Brees and Sean Payton's not coming back. You know, it was a great run. Anytime you over a dozen years, those 15, 16 seasons, when the Saints were relevant. And now they're not relevant. So the bottom line is, you know, you can say, oh, they had bad luck with injuries and all that. And to me, it's not a tweak. You know, a player here or there, you got to blow this thing up. And they're not a young ball club. Their main players are all old now. Last week against the Commanders, Cam Jordan, you know, DeMario Davis at 34, 35 years of age, Honey Badger. All the stud players are old. And even though he has a lot left in the tank, their stud running back, Alvin Kamara, who's not going to be available against Green Bay, he's 30 years old, even though he plays like he's about 25. But they don't have any young stud players. You know, always look at a roster. Who could start? Not only for your team, but for the other NFL teams. If you look at, like, players 25, 26 and under, the only really great player, and they have some good players, but I'm talking about elite great players, would be their center, McCoy. And he would start off, I think, for every team, either at center or at guard, but he's the only one. Like Chris Olave, he's been dealing with concussions coming back, but he's a number two. He's not a number one. He's too little. And so, that's why I think they're basically going to be starting over coming up this season. And now you're dealing with the salary cap. So it might be some lean next couple of seasons before you're going to turn around. I still think they're going to go with David Carr. Derek Carr.
Yeah.
His brother David. Now, he's the one that always is getting sacked. But Derek Carr, I think they're going to ride with him next season. you know, the salary cap implications with him. But they just don't have anybody better. Looks like they'd be going with Spencer Rattler. And I think he's more dynamic as far as maybe making plays with his feet than Jake Haener. But I don't know if he's the answer for the future. So, yeah, there's still a lot of questions in the Big Easy.
Tom and Bobby Hebert, former Saints quarterback, Sports Talk with Bobby Hebert and WWL, joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on the Fan. Let's talk a little bit about that running back group, because as you mentioned, Kamara's not going to play in this one. But then you all signed Clyde Edwards-Helaire this week to go along with the rest of your running backs, including former Packer Jamal Williams. What do you make of the Edwards-Helaire signing for the last three games?
Well, you know, they're trying to look for maybe development in the future. He was, you know, he had over 800-some yards as a rookie with the Chiefs, and we all remember him because he was with Joe Burrow at LSU and was outstanding that national championship season. But he's kind of went by the wayside with the Chiefs. You know, he had a lot of emotional issues. He actually shot someone and killed them, but he was getting robbed, and so he's had a tough time dealing with that. And I think that affected him, and he was, you know, had kind of a medical leave with the Chiefs, but they ended up releasing him. But he's really not the answer. The guy has to be Kendre Miller from TCU, who they drafted high. And, you know, he's averaged 5.5-6 yards a run, but he's always hurt. He's always hurt. So the best thing to be held accountable, you have to be available. And Jamal Williams has been a disappointment since he's come over from Detroit. You know, with the Lions, when he went from the Packers to the Lions, and the Lions, he was a touchdown maker. Well, he has not been a touchdown maker for the Saints. So that's another area that I think in the future, like if they pick 8, 9, or 10 right now, that number 10, that every position, you truly would take best player available who can help you immediately and start right away, not trying to develop them. The only position I would say running back, and they would go to Alvin Kamara and Kendre Miller in the future. But you look at whether it's defensive back, safety, or corner, you know, Marshon Lattimore, who's the best cornerback in Saints history, is now with the Washington Commanders. Paulson Adebo, he broke his leg bad. Now, I think he could still play at a high level, but he's a little handsy. He was the one who's always getting interference penalties at the wrong time to extend drives. Then you look at the linebacking core, Pete Werner from Ohio State, he's young, but DeMarvin Davis is old, Cam Jordan's old, you know, Marcus Davenport, Payne Turner, the edge rushers. You look in the interior, D tackles. You look at Brian Brzee from Clemson. He can rush the passer. He's getting after the quarterback getting sacks, but you can run at him. And I'm sure that's exactly what Green Bay is going to do. They have to feel that they can run the ball against the Saints. So there's a reason why the Saints are 13.5-point to now 14.5-point underdog. And to show you kind of how bad it is, that Monday morning when the Packers were a 13.5-point favorite, it's the first time in nearly a quarter of a century that the Saints have been that big of a dog.
Man.
Now the good news is the last time it happened, it was in November of 2000, the Saints won the road and they outright defeated Kurt Warner and the Rams. Remember when the Rams, greatest show in turf?
Yep.
They beat them 31-24. Now, but it's at 14.5. You got some other history. You got to go back for the first time the Saints was that large an underdog. Got to go back to September of 1994. I had just left the Saints, and I went to Atlanta, and they were a 15-point dog to Steve Young, Jerry Rice, and the 49ers. So we kind of in uncharted territory as far as like, oh, the Saints have no chance, especially from Vegas' perspective. You know, when you get a double-digit underdog in the NFL, that's like a 30-point underdog in college football. So I'd be shocked if the Saints upset the Packers.
Okay, so this is the thing, though, right? What about the will to win? I mean, there's a good chance there's going to be snow flying here in Green Bay, maybe snow covering the field coming up on Monday night. You know, 20-some degrees outside. Let's say the Packers get off to a 14-3 or something like that start. Is that team going to keep fighting, or do you get concerned that they're just going to kind of just be like, to heck with this, we're done?
No, they're going to keep fighting. They have too many old leaders. Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, I don't think they would let that happen. They're going to keep fighting. And the coldest game they ever played in the history, in the franchise of the history, was the last game in Cleveland. I want to say it was 9 degrees in the wind chill. Now, the Green Bay Packers are on the Cleveland Browns, and they were led by Deshaun Watson at that time, and the Saints beat him in Cleveland. So, but I just think you can't compare those conditions, and you play in Cleveland versus, you know, really cold conditions, but dome team, but you play in the Packers. I think the Packers are right up there, depending, you know, what game when you play them. You just got to win one game. The NFC North is unbelievable with the Lions, all the injuries they have. You look at the Vikings, Packers, Eagles. So, you know, we had an opportunity to beat the Eagles in the Superdome earlier this season. We took away the football, which we haven't been doing as of late, and actually had a 5-point lead with under 2 minutes left in the defense. You know, we needed to be a top-10 defense, in which they've been disappointing this season, and the Eagles were able to get a touchdown on simply just a drag route to the tight end. All three defensive backs ran into each other.
Oh, my God.
Three for about like 60-yard touchdown, and that's how they lost. All they had to do was, you know, just finish. But the Eagles are a whole lot better now compared to when the Saints played them at the, you know, beginning of the season. But if you look at it, the one thing I think is significant, and the Saints were really good at the beginning of the year, is that taking away the football. You know, right now the Saints are +1 and the Packers are +8. So when I just look at that, and like Coach Rizzi said, the interim head coach, and, you know, I think he'd had to almost run the table to have a chance to be the head coach. But you can have a successful special teams coach. Look at John Harbaugh. That's his background with the Ravens, one of the best. And if you look in history, one of the greatest was Marv Levy. That was his background. The Buffalo Bills going to four straight Super Bowls. He was a special teams guru. So when I look at Darren Rizzi right now, he said, no, this is why Green Bay always wins at home, especially since Matt LaFleur took over as head coach. The Packers, he said, told us all the New Orleans media, that they are 24-1 at home when they win the turnover battle. So he said, I'm going to make a huge emphasis this week. Not only that, we got to take care of the ball, but obviously we have to create takeaways. And we were hot at the beginning. You know, we were +4, never built upon that. The Saints last year ended up +11. +11, you think you'd be in the postseason. But if you look at it, the Saints have just forced, three turnovers in the last seven games. After they had, and if you look in the first beginning of the season, after the, you know, having 13 takeaways in the first seven, so that's one thing that's been a problem when they had, when they went on that losing streak, was they were very opportunistic at the beginning of the season, protecting the football with Derek Carr, and then taking it away when, and as of late, like I said, they haven't done that. So what Coach Rizzi is basically saying, if the Saints aren't +1, which is hard to do against Green Bay at Lambeau Field under Coach LaFleur, that they won't have a chance. So that's kind of like, you know, it's old school and like, oh, can we take away the football? Can we protect it? But they think that would give them maybe a chance if that would occur.
I got one last one because I know you got to get to your show. What happy talk do y'all do on your show, man? Between the Pelicans and the Saints, where's the positive happy stuff come from?
Well, looking for, towards LSU baseball.
There you go.
Well, but you know, we don't have the Milwaukee Brewers, and we don't have a major league team. So that's how our major league baseball team is LSU baseball and LSU football not being in the postseason. And where the Saints or Pelicans are at, I don't know, the Pelicans might only be better than the Wizards right now. So, no, they're just trying to get in the Christmas spirit. And, you know, we love sports here, but boy, it is about as down as I've seen it in a while since, you know, Katrina, when you think about it. And always have fond memories of Green Bay, though. I grew up a Packers fan, and the main reason, listen, I was number 15 in high school, won the state championship. I got my jersey retired. And the reason why I was number 15, because my dad loved the Packers. He went to LSU, but he loved the Packers. He liked any LSU player that played in the pros, and he loved Jimmy Taylor.
Nice.
And old Jimmy Taylor, so he loved the Packers. So he said, no, you can, I want you to wear number 15, Bart Starr. So wearing that. And so the Packers are always that blue-collar team that, even though in South Louisiana, that appreciated.
Hey,
plus
Bobby,
that LSU running back, Jimmy Taylor.
Did you ever get a chance to play at Old County Stadium when they would play at the Brewer Stadium in Milwaukee?
I played in the last professional NFL game in Milwaukee County Stadium with the Atlanta Falcons.
See that? We're going to talk with George Koontz coming up, old Packers linebacker, about that game.
Yes, I played. I thought we had a chance to win, if I can recall, we came back. I was having a good game with Jeff George. I went in the game at the time. That's when my elbow was shot. They went and get Jeff George, and then I don't know. He broke his pinky on his left hand. You would have thought he broke his arm. They had to get the card for him. And I'm like, well, what in the world? And so I went in the game, and I brought us back, and we took the lead. I think Brett Favre, I want to say, had no timeouts left. It was like 14 seconds left in the game. And Chuck Smith, who's now coaching with the Ravens, he had like messed up his knee and ended up having knee surgery. And he let Favre get out of containment.
Yep.
And I think Favre scored like with 4 seconds left, and he crossed the goal line, and we lost.
Yeah, Holmgren told him before that play, whatever you do, do not run. And then he ran anyhow and didn't listen to Holmgren.
He ran and he scored, but you know how crazy Favre is.
Yes, yes, no doubt.
But that was actually, I remember Milwaukee County Stadium. What I remember about that that stadium, that you were on the same sidelines.
Right.
You know, you had both teams in the same sidelines, and actually before I ever threw a touchdown pass, I played in Milwaukee County Stadium, and Dito Merkins threw me a touchdown pass against the Packers.
What?
I threw a bomb to Eugene Goodloe. I never forget this from Kansas State, and I'm trying to recall when that game was. It was probably in '85. We ended up losing. It was like November. I'm gonna say November of '85, and we ended up losing like 14-38. But I caught a touchdown pass from Guido Merkins. You know, in the pros, you got to be in the shotgun so they can throw it back to you. And I caught a touchdown pass, and I threw good little Eugene a bomb. But that was also in Milwaukee County Stadium.
Wow.
So now my understanding, I guess they would play there to throw the Milwaukee fan base a bone. But now you got to go to the Lambeau. I don't think they're playing any future games for the Packers.
No, when they built American Family Field for the Brewers, they said it's not possible anymore. But those people that had season tickets at County Stadium get 3 games a year to go watch the Packers in Lambeau now. So
That makes sense. You had to compromise.
Yeah. So it ended up working out. All these years later, they still get 3 games. And this year, they ended up being all NFC North games, all 3 of them. So it worked out really well for the Milwaukee fans. Bobby, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it. And we'll see how things go coming up on Monday night.
Yeah, boy, that would the fans, the Green Packer fans would be bitching if they lose to the Saints, because there's no way. I'm telling you right now, they should not lose. The Saints, we're not as bad as the Raiders and Giants. I viewed us as a middle of the pack, 8-9, 9-8 type team. But right now, I guess we're around 20th.
Yeah,
if I realistically look at it, but I know we're not as sorry as the Giants and Raiders. I know that.
No, and they're both really sorry. Bobby, thank you so much, buddy. Have a good night.
All right, talk to y'all later. Okay,
take care.